Well, good morning. Who's excited to be in church this morning? Come on, let me hear it. Yeah. Well, some good energy in the room. I thought I'd have to say it a second time, but no, you guys are ready. I'm excited to be here too. We're officially into our first week of September. All the kids are back to school. Who's excited for that? Yeah. Remember that commercial was like, it's the most wonderful time of the, remember that? I remember being in school and seeing that and being like, I don't get it. I'm like, I'm not excited to go back to school. And parents, they're not really excited to see their kids leave. They love me, right? But no, as a parent now, I'm like, no, I love my kids, but yeah, get them out of here, right? Send them back to school. That commercial makes so much more sense now. But as I, you know, going into back to school season always has me, you know, that smell in the air. I remember being a kid myself and that fall smell's coming in and it's starting to smell like the playground that I remember. And do you remember, I was born and raised in Cornwall and I went to St. Peter's in the East End. Represent St. Pete's. Anybody else? I'm alone. All right. Well, it was an okay school, all right? It was an okay school. Anyway, but I remember those of you went to elementary school, remember those Scholastics magazines you'd get, like, I don't know, like every month or 2 months, and you'd like pick a book and you put your change in a Ziploc bag and hand in your teacher, you got a book. Well, I remember one year there was one book I really wanted. It was full of stereograms and it was a whole book of it. And it was those optical illusions. We have the first slide up there. Remember those things? It was just like a blurb of whatever. And you stare at it long enough. I didn't even know what it was called. I had to Google it. I just knew it as those weird pictures. It was a whole book of these. And you stare at it long enough and a 3D image would pop out of it. And I got this whole book. I was so excited. I'm like, ooh, it's like magic for your eyes. And I looked at it, and I'm going through page after page, and I couldn't do it. I can't do it. I still can't do it. In fact, I'm kind of nervous that I use that as an example. I just pulled it off of Google Images, and I'm really, so if you can see the 3D image, I apologize if it's not church-friendly, all right? I don't know what it is, but I can't do it. They're really challenging. It's okay. You can bring the lights back up. I really don't want them to find out what that is, just in case. But I couldn't do it, and it frustrated me. I'd go after page, and people would always say, Frank, you gotta distort your vision, you know, just kind of, you know, mess your eyeballs up on purpose and look at it, and then I still couldn't get it. And they'd be like, well, Frank, you gotta kind of go cross-eyed and then, like, uncross your eyes. I'm like, what? So, like, look at it normally? What are you talking about? And I still couldn't do it. And they're like, oh, you gotta dim the lights. It's too bright in here. Then other people would be like, oh, Frank, it's too dim. You gotta increase the light so you can see it better. And hold it this far from your face. And other people say, hold it so it's touching your nose, and then slowly pull it away. And I'm like, what? This just seems too difficult. This is not magic anymore. It's weird. So I got so frustrated, and it got to the point where one time I almost saw it. I swear, I almost saw it. And I was opening it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can see it. It looks kind of weird. It's a dolphin. I can see a dolphin jumping out. And then my buddy comes over and goes, what? And he looks at it for 3 years. He's like, that's not a dolphin. He goes, Frank, it's not even the theme of the page. It's clearly space themed. There's space, there's stars and planets all over the place. And I'm looking at it, and that's Saturn, Frank. See the rings? It's not a dolphin. And I was like, oh, and I got all frustrated. And then I just start straight up lying. People were like, my buddies would be like, hey, what's on this page? And I'd be like, oh, that's clearly a seal balancing a ball on its nose. It's clear. He goes, no, it's not. It's a clown holding a pie. I'm like, you're a pie. And then I just flipped the tables like Jesus taught me, and I stormed out, right? Anyway. Yeah, so my vision, I just couldn't get it. And I feel like going back to school, even in college, going back to school, and when I was preparing to go to college, I was really struggling with vision at that time as well, a different type of vision. I was struggling with where I should be, and I remember the anxiety of that. Like, oh, I'm at this certain age. I'm done high school. Next step's college, right? You got to do that, right? So what do I take? What course do I take? What do I enroll in? What if I spend like 10 grand on tuition, and I hate it, and now I'm in debt, and now I can't afford to pick another choice? All this thing was going through my head, and what am I going? God, I just want to glorify you. Whatever I do, I want to be successful. Not only do I want to be successful, I want to bring me purpose, and then I don't know what to do with this. And I remember I was here at this church, and I was over in the kitchen by the fireside room, if you're familiar with the layout of the building. And we're just hanging out there, me and a few buddies, and Pastor Roy was there as well. And I remember just kind of voicing to him, like, hey, I'm like, this is kind of what I'm going through. I'm not too sure what to do with this. And then he said something so simple, but so profound. He probably doesn't remember telling me this, but it was so simple and so profound to me in that moment. And he said, when you're walking with God, you'll find it extremely difficult to walk out of his purpose for you. And that gave me such a relief in that moment. So we all have these visions of what our lives are supposed to look like. We have these visions. We say, okay, well, some of us come right out of high school. We're like, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be a doctor, and I'm going to do this and that. And they go out to be a doctor, and things are great, and they got their goals, and they got their vision set before them. Other of us, you know, if you're like me with my stereogram pictures, we have a lack of vision. We don't know what's next. We don't know where we're going. And then some of us are so far down the road that we're now way past college, and we're looking back being like, where I'm at today isn't where I expect it to be. This doesn't line up with the vision that I had for myself at all. And I don't know what to do with this now, because now I feel like I'm so deep in it. There's no going back now. And I don't know what to do with that either. There's a movie called, anybody ever seen the movie Mr. Deeds with Adam Sandler? Can I confess that? I've watched Adam Sandler movies once in a while. All right. There's a scene at the very end where he's got to give like a motivational speech to like a room full of like wealthy investors. And he's got to convince them to make a decision not based on their greed and the smart investment move, but to make a decision based off of what they're feeling in their heart. And he calls on this one man, and he says, sir, what did you want to be when you were a child? And this big Texan guy stands up, cowboy hat, big belt buckle. And he goes, well, I always wanted to be a veterinarian. And he goes, that's great. Why did you want to be a veterinarian? He goes, well, I just want to help sick animals. And he goes, that's beautiful. And what do you do now? And he says, I own a chain of slaughterhouses. And he's like, whoa, that kind of went the opposite direction on you, didn't it? But like, I'm sure his 10-year-old self would be kicking him in the butt the whole time. Like, what have you done? You know? So life always doesn't end up where we expect it to be going. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about when you're walking with God, you'll find it very difficult to leave his purpose. And that's what I want to talk about. And that is living life with purpose. See, my first point this morning is that the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy your purpose. See, we can just follow me for a second. If Jesus is in your heart and you're a Christian and you're born again and all those great things and you love him and you worship and all these great things, I don't believe the devil wants to physically kill you. What good is that going to do him? All he's going to do is send you right to heaven to be with your father, and another one gets added to the kingdom, right? That's not his goal. But what he does want to do is he wants to destroy your purpose. He wants you stuck, a stick in the mud. He wants you just sitting down somewhere going, I'm not good enough. I can't do anything. Oh, God, I don't know what God's called me to. I can't, you know, I'm not going to bother stepping out in faith or in trusting God. I don't know where I'm supposed to be right now. Should I be over here? What do I do with my hands? I don't know. Like, this is where he wants you. And the thief comes, in John 10, verse 10, says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And it says, Jesus said, I came that I may have life, that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, the first part, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you have somebody, you're just like walking through your life, doing your thing, but you always feel like, why can't I get ahead? Why do I feel like I'm always under attack? Why can't I just seem to always like, you know, overcome this? Why do every time something good happens, then something catastrophic happens right after? Like why is things just seem so difficult? And I'll tell you why, because the enemy comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. If you're going through something, and this could be my whole sermon right here. If you're being challenged with something, then that's because you have something the enemy wants. You're doing something right. He has something that he wants to kill. He wants something that he wants to destroy. He wants to take from you. Come on, somebody. See, I love the story of Samson, not simply because this guy was like a beast and like a tank, like this guy could destroy stuff. Who here is familiar with the story of Samson from the Bible? I'm not going to go through the whole thing this morning, but I really want to encourage you to head over to Judges 13 and read it. It's a great story. But Samson was born with a purpose. He was born so that he could, the Israelites at the time were under the oppression of the Philistines, and he was born specifically to help set them free, to begin their stage of freedom. And Samson was blessed with supernatural strength, like crazy strength, like Superman strength. I don't mean like, oh, he was a strong guy. I'm like, no, he did stuff that humans shouldn't be able to do. At one point, he ripped the gates off the city walls. And historians actually say that one side of the gate, one alone, was 4 tons. And not only did he rip it off, but he carried it up a mountain so the Philistines couldn't bring them back down and reinstall them. Like, he really wanted to make a point. Another time, he picked up 1,000 Philistines were coming against him, and he just found, what do I got? And he saw a carcass of a dead donkey, and he picked up its jawbone, and he killed 1,000 Philistines. Like, this guy was supernaturally strong. He was insane. But long story short, he was given strict direction. Ever since he was a kid, he was going to be born. He was a his His mother was given strict direction by the angel of the Lord and said, this kid's going to be a Nazirite, meaning he was set apart. He had specific direction and rules he had to follow. One of them was he was to never drink wine, things like that. You can't touch dead things. But one of the big ones, he was to never cut his hair. Never cut his hair. And in his immaturity and pride, he found himself making exceptions. Say exceptions. Exceptions. Samson made exceptions and small, poor decisions that went against the purpose God intended for him. Eventually, he got seduced by a woman who tricked him into revealing his secret to his strength. And while he slept, she had his hair cut. And he woke up and he had no strength at all. And the Philistines came to capture him and he couldn't fight them off. See, and this is the thing. The first thing the Philistines did when they finally captured Samson, what do you think it was? This guy's massive guy. This guy wreaks so much havoc. He's killed so many of their people. You know, if I captured Samson, I'd be, oh, well, let's cut this guy's arms off. This guy's obviously got lots of strength. Yeah, he can't really punch us in the face if he's got no arms, right? So let's cut his arms off. No, or let's cut his legs off. He has no legs. He can't go anywhere. We can capture him so easy. No, they didn't do any of that. They gouged his eyes out. They knew if he lost his vision, he would lose his purpose. And without a purpose, he'd have no fight left inside of him. And that's why we can't be naive. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. We always have to be on guard. We always have to be watching. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at. You know, if you're on the mountaintop and things are going great, you need to be watchful. Never be naive that the enemy's ignoring you. The higher you get, the more you have something to steal, kill, and destroy, the more he's going to come after you. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when we submit to God and his teaching and what he has for our life, and we submit to his plan, we can resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. So why does the devil flee from us? Why does the devil flee from us when we resist him? Well, that's because of our position. And my second point this morning is there is purpose in your position. My entire life, I knew I wanted kids. I've always wanted kids. You know, like, it's just been like, again, that's probably kind of my upbringing, my mindset. I'm like, well, you get married, you grow up, you get married, you have kids, and you get a job. That was my mindset. But I always wanted kids. And me and my friends, we would sit around the campfire or each other's like basements and living rooms and stuff. And we would just be hanging out with a couple teenagers, right? And we'd be always talking about our future. When I grow up, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to like accomplish this. And I'm going to get married. My wife's going to be hotter than your wife. Trust me. And like we had all these... We're teenagers. Give me a break. And then, you know, I'm going to have so many kids. I'm going to have like 10 kids. I'm going to have one kid and I'm just going to spoil them rotten. We're going to hang out. We're going to be best buds. I'm going to have two kids so they can play with each other. We had all these conversations. And then like, I remember for myself, I'm like, oh, I can't remember how many kids I said I wanted, but let's say three, cause I got three. So I want three and we're going to hang out. We're going to be best buds. Oh man, we're going to do so much stuff together. I'm going to teach them to climb trees. We're going to swing from vines. We're going to go cliff diving. We're going to go skydiving. We're going to go swimming with sharks. We're going to go paintballing. We're going to shoot each other. Oh, it's going to be such a good time. Like it was awesome. I'm going to teach them everything. I'm going to teach them to sweet talk the ladies, you know, yes, I know we're preteens, not monks. Again, cut me a little bit of grace. I just came out of puberty. All right. But on February 8th, 2014, my eldest son, Levi, was born. I became a dad. It was one of the best days of my life. My perspective changed so much. My purpose changed so much. My world changed so much. There is no way for me to, like, for those of you that are parents in the room, you would probably agree with me. There's no way that you can communicate or explain how much you love your kids, how much it changes your life. There's no way I can say, oh, things are great. Well, what does that mean? You have no idea. And I keep telling my kids that. You'll have no idea. They'll be like, Dad, who do you love the most? I'm like, you have no idea. I can't say that. I can't even find the words. I love you all the same. And like, I always knew I would love my kids. I just never knew I was going to love them that much. I didn't even know there was that much love that I could have for somebody. So I'm not taking them cliff diving. I'm not going skydiving with these guys. What are you talking about? I'm not swimming with sharks with them right now. Like, I'm not going to shoot they're my boys, my little boy, they're my little men. I'm not going to shoot them with a paintball gun. At least not until they're 14 and like you talk to your mother that way. You know, like, I'm not going to do, come on, like, these are my boys. Like, I can't even think of that. I remember one time, a couple summers ago, my brother-in-law lives on the water, and Levi wanted to go tubing behind his boat for the first time. And I was like, what? And I was like, okay, Dad, you got to step back. He's got to live. He's got to experience some stuff. So I remember sitting in the boat and him being tied by, being pulled behind the boat in the tube. He was having a blast. I'm on the edge of the boat, like, ready to dive headfirst off of a moving speedboat at the sight of anything going wrong in, on that tube. Like, I remember I was so nervous. My heart was in my stomach. It was crazy. I was so nervous. See, my sons, Levi, Judah, and Ezra, they have one purpose right now, and that's to be my sons. See, when my wife told me she was pregnant, immediately they were my sons. When she gave birth to them, they were my sons. When they kept me up all night and we were exhausted, and me and the wife were looking at each other like, who are we gonna kill first? Like, they were my sons. When they ate too much junk food, and at 1 a.m. they wake up and decide to, like, sprinkler vomit all over the carpet, and I'm like rubbing sleep out of my eyes while I'm trying to like vacuum up the puke out of the carpet and all. They were my sons at that point. There was nothing that could separate that. This is the irrevocable position that my sons have in my life, is that they are my sons. See, their purpose, there's nothing they got to do. Their purpose isn't based on performance. Their purpose is based on their position in my life. And this is the irrevocable position we hold when we are adopted as children of God. As God's children, we have one purpose, and that is to be his children. God wants his children to know him so that they can make him known. God's will becomes our purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's God's pleasure and his will that we receive his son Jesus and become his children. And he designed this before the foundations of the world were ever created. Man, that blows my mind. See, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb. So before he even, the Bible talks about, oh, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Before even that, before he even formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And there's your purpose, to know him and then be a prophet to the nations. Know him and make him known to others. Man, all that before you even created in your mother's womb. He already knew you. So God knows you. How do we know God? We get to know our Father when we read his word and we talk to him, right? That's how do you get to know anybody? Talk to him. But when we read his word and we let him lead us through his word, Psalms 119 verse 105, it's very, very common. I'm sure you've all heard it, but it's so perfect right there. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Where do you want to go? What are you supposed to be doing right now? Why don't you read his word? And then when we put into action what the Bible teaches, it gives us the opportunity to experience the goodness of God. When, you know, because what we read in the Bible sometimes can really be challenging. It could be really a hard pill to swallow sometimes. But when we say, you know what, God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm trusting you. I'm take me to a place where my trust is without borders. You know, this is what it's talking about. God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to step up. I'm going to do what your word says. And then when we do that, we're able to see the goodness of God through it. We get to see the practicality of how it works. And when we trust in God and we experience his goodness, we come to realize this whole time that our Father in heaven, he is good. Come on, somebody. Yeah. When the devil comes knocking, Matthew chapter 6, when the devil comes knocking, like in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus got tempted in the desert, we can then respond the same way Jesus did when the devil came bugging him, right? He prowls around like a roaring lion, right? He even bugged Jesus when he was on earth. And we can challenge the devil right back with his word. When the devil comes tempting us, we can say, yeah, but the Bible says this, devil, so get under my feet. Come on. My third point this morning is we need to stop making exceptions and we need to start living exceptionally. Come on. See, Samson was called to live to a higher standard than others. But he made exceptions all along the way that led to his downfall. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. This is Jesus talking. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against it. That house could not shake because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So I know that's a pretty common story, pretty common parable, but how many of us have thought about this? You know, the difference between when the man built his house on the rock and then when the storm came. How much time do you imagine passed? I like to think, like, because it really puts it together. Like, he built the house, and then, like, the next day, like, a storm hit, and, whoa, thank goodness I did that. But picture this man building a house, digging down to, like, the bedrock. He wants to get a real firm foundation, and he's got to hire an excavator. He's got to pay the operator an hourly rate to dig that hole. He's got to hire a concrete company to come and pump that concrete in, and they got to do it from way over there, so he needs a pump truck because the ground's soft over there. And, you know, he's got all these things that he's got to pay for, and then he looks over and he sees his neighbor just building his house on the dirt, and hey, he's already got the walls up and the roof on. He's plastering his walls already and putting windows in. He's like, what? I'm just here digging a hole and I can't afford this. And as you're digging, as he's still digging, he's got a sore back. He looks up and his neighbor's done, and he looks in the window and he's watching, and he's playing on his 80-inch LED 4K TV with his PlayStation 5. What? And, like, you pull out his phone, and he just got back from a trip from Barcelona. Where does he get his money from, right? Like, oh, I bet you I could afford all those things if I wasn't over here investing all my money in my foundation and all this hard work. And I haven't got the roof on this place, and he's already done. And sometimes he's over there indulging himself while I'm over here denying myself. What's going on? Why does it seem like nothing's going on and there's no storm coming? It's been great weather, you know, a couple rainy days, but nothing horrible. You know, it can be defeating us sometimes. And it seems as though in the end, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes living exceptionally means you sit there for days on end while the sun seems to shine on everybody. And you wonder why you went through all the trouble. But I don't think I have to preach this to anybody this morning. I don't think I have to tell anybody the truth of life is that the storms will come. And when they do, the rock of Jesus is the only thing that's going to save you. What you invest in your foundation is the only thing that's going to protect your home. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." See, when we get transformed by... when we allow our minds to be transformed and renewed by God, his will becomes our purpose. His will becomes our will. See, we are transformed by applying the truth of the word of God to our lives. Matthew 6:33, and we mentioned this verse multiple times in the last month or two. "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." Basically, what he's saying is seek first the kingdom. Commit yourself to your work. Commit yourself to what? Seeking first the kingdom. Seek first me and your plans will be established. Not your plans, but the plans that I will establish in your life. Proverbs 19, verse 21 It says, "Many are the plans of man." Of course, we all got plans. It's not bad to have goals and visions. And, you know, I go to the gym, so I want to lift this much weight. And, you know, and I want to do this. And my career is going down this path. And my goals, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we seek first the kingdom, we can receive his blessing through it. "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Man, that's a good one. See, even after Samson's capture and fall, he was never far from God's grace. As the Philistines celebrated their victory, they brought now eyeless or visionless Samson into this big facility, big columns holding the roof up, and they wanted to basically mock him and celebrate their victory over him and the Israelites. So they brought him in, they put him in the middle of the room between two of the structural pillars right in the middle. So everybody can see and he can entertain them as they mock him. And Samson, full of remorse and realizing what he's done, he prayed to God. Judges chapter 16, 28 to 30 says, "Then Samson called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once. O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes, so that I may be avenged for the vision they took from me.'" You know, the enemy's come for our vision, come for our purpose. He's come to destroy our purpose, kill our will, and steal our purpose. It's time we take it back. "And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he had killed during his life." Epic finale. Aren't you glad God's a God of second chances? Man, I'm glad he's the God of fifth chances. I'm glad he's the God of 10th chances, 12th chances, 172th chances. 72th, is that a thing? 73rd chances. I'm just grateful. Peter walked on water with Jesus. Quick story. The disciples were in a boat during a storm, and Jesus was walking out in the water to them. And Peter stands up in the boat and says, "Lord, if that is you, tell me to come out to you. And I'll walk, and I'll get out of this boat, and I'll walk on the water with you." And Jesus said, "Come, Peter." Peter got out of the boat and started walking. It wasn't until then Peter noticed the waves and he noticed the wind that he started to sink. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. And it was in that moment, right before he was about to go under, that Jesus reached down and saved him from the depths. Another quick story. Jesus was in a town, and there was a man named Jairus who was a leader in the synagogue. And Jairus' daughter was deathly ill. She was in her deathbed, and he was desperate. And he heard Jesus was in the town, and so he went out looking for him. And when he found him, he said, "Teacher, teacher, I need you to come and heal my daughter. They say you're a healer. I need you to come now." And Jesus agreed. And while they're on their way to Jairus' house, somebody met him halfway and said, "Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother Jesus anymore. While you were gone, your daughter died. She passed away." Jairus was overwhelmed with emotion, and everyone's telling him, "Don't bother. This is a horrible thing. Just let it go. Just start your mourning." And Jesus went to Jairus and said, "Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe. Look to me. I know everything around you is telling you to mourn. I know everybody's saying this is awful. I know everybody's saying just go home and forget about it all. Just be that stick in the mud, Jairus." He said, "But I need you to look to me, Jairus. Look to me. Don't take your eyes off of me, Jairus. I don't have a healing for you. I have a resurrection plan for you. Come on." See, when we pursue God, you'll have great difficulty leaving his purpose for you. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson when he needed the strength to stretch out his arms and bring down those pillars. And Jesus stretched out his arms. He died and rose again so that you can have a relationship with God. And that changed the world. Not only did Samson's had the Spirit come upon him, Jesus said his Spirit will dwell within us always. I don't know where you're going or how you're gonna get there, but wherever we go, his Spirit comes with us. He goes before you, he stands with you. See, before you were called to anything, before you're called to that vocation, before you're called to that career, before you're called to that relationship, before you're called to raise a family, before you're called to anything, he calls you to be his child. He's calling you to a relationship with him. He says to seek him first, and he'll take care of everything else. Today, I want to give you the opportunity. If you've never received Jesus into your heart, never committed your life, never surrendered your life to Jesus this morning, and just trusted him with everything else while you seek him first, I want to give you an opportunity. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to count backwards, 3, 2, 1, and I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, just simply just because I want to acknowledge you very quickly, and then I want to say a prayer for you. as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand in 3, 2, 1. All right, I don't see any hands this morning, but for those of you online, just type it into the chat that you'd like to receive Jesus this morning. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer anyway, so that those of us, God sees your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. And I just ask that we all pray this in unison together. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I'm choosing to seek you first.
I'm choosing to seek you first.
Thank you for dying on the cross and pursuing me.
Dying on the cross and pursuing me.
Today.
I repent of my
sins,
and I give you my life.
Lead me,
and guide me.
Establish,
and reveal
your plans
for me.
For your glory.
Amen.
Thank you.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the water wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. So we'll rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine.
So good, so good. What an amazing service we have had, and we have a couple more things to do. I'll actually ask you to just take your seat for a second. We're just going to share with you some exciting and important announcements. Also, is that not a great word from Frankie? Woo! Thank you, man. Thank you for being here. Our ways to give are on the screen as per usual. We want to just thank you for your generosity, for your giving, and your tithing in the house. It is a blessing, and we just know that we can trust God in this area. And we have, again, some just exciting and important announcements, so I'll just ask you to turn your attention to the screen for a video.
My name is Mia, and I am one of the leaders that will be taking some of our youth and young adults to the Unashamed Muskoka Retreat this November. It's going to be taking place November 8th through the 10th, and if you are a youth or a young adult, so aged 12 up to 30, you do not want to miss this event. We took our young adults and youth last year, and it was absolutely life-changing. Just being able to drive up with different groups of people really helped us just connect and bond. But being able to be in the presence of Jesus, being able to be around youth and young adults from four different churches that just love God and just wanted to be in his presence was absolutely amazing. The down payment for youth and young adults is $100, and then the final payment is due the 1st of October. If you've been debating about joining us or not joining us and cost is an issue, please reach out to us today. We have wonderful people that want to make sure that you can get there. Believe me when I say you could pay double or triple what it costs to get there, and it will be worth your money and your time. You do not want to miss out. If you want to join us, the deadline to register is today, which means you need to speak to myself or Karen today before you leave this building. If you're online, text us at 613-932-7320 so we can send you the link so you can get online, register, and not miss out.
You had shared in the last Freedom group.
Yeah.
And I remember like leaving and being like, ooh, like that dug deep because it did affect me. Like,
yeah.
I've been so angry at certain situations and I was like, I just need to take a step back. Just take a step back and like release it. But it was like techniques or situations you had gone through that you were able to break through.
Yeah.
And just sharing like the simplest of tactics was amazing.
Yeah.
Like it helps significantly more, like just learning someone's story, but also sharing ways to get through it.
Each time I watched the video and then I read the readings and answered the questions in that, each step is God teaching me how to free myself, not just from bad things that happened to me in my life, but also for me to understand people better. God has taught me how to be compassionate and understanding and understand that people have different points of views.
Yeah.
And that, so you learn how to let go of some of the obstacles in your own being.
Yes. Yeah.
That has held you back for so many years.
Yeah.
And that's, you're free.
I know we're busy, and as guys, who wants to do a small group on an evening, but I just want to tell you guys, it's a great blessing to get involved. I've met some great guys. You know, these are guys that I can call when I'm struggling, and I can have a real deep conversation with, and they can help me, I can help them.
Yeah, just like Steve's saying, like it is a study group. There's a lot of Bible, but a big part of it is connecting with people, making relationships, and praying with people, and being able to share your life. You know, why is it called Freedom? The first verse at the front says, you know, Jesus said, I am the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there's a verse in Galatians which is sometimes confusing. It says, so for freedom, Christ has set us free. We all want to be free, but sometimes we don't know how to get there. And this course will give you some tools and some ideas for how to really become free and live a victorious Christian life.
So this week, as you heard, is very exciting because small groups, everybody say small groups, are starting. Let me see your hand. Who's in a small group, leading a small group? Look at everybody. Okay, if you want to be in a small group, get in one today. You saw how to do it. I also want to bring your attention to a mom's group. It's called Momco Motherhood Small Group with Emma and Maria. This is an amazing group for moms with young kids. And Maria is in this service. She's in the back row. So if you want to chat with her, get connected, get in a group. Life is better together. If you see anyone with one of these shirts, they are probably a small group leader or they can help you get signed up. So get signed up. You're going to have an amazing week. And like Frankie said, we're going to stop making exceptions and start living exceptionally. Let me pray for you and you'll be on your way. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for what you have done in this service, what you've spoken out through Frankie, God, the moments we've had in worship. God, I pray that we would just take hold of everything you put in us today, and we move into our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all throughout the week, and we take your word with us. We love you, Jesus. In your precious name, we pray. Everybody said, amen. We love you, Harvest. Have a great day.